back. Welcome to this week's brand new episode of All of This is Temporary, brought to you as always by Skim Milk and Two Hats. Coming at you live from underneath the bilm, the bill. I'm your main host, Ray Stone, and coming at me as always from way across the table.
And not so far across the table is Melody Yates.
All the way from across the table.
Far, far away from a table right here. It's also brought to you by Endorphins. I want to add that in. Feeling full of endorphins today.
From Black Mountain?
Mm-hmm.
Or from?
From old Blackie.
Yeah. Is that what you're feeling it from? From Black Mountain this afternoon?
Yeah. Yeah. Feeling good.
I like to hike Black Mountain very often. It's kind of like, it's like a locals mountain. It's good. It's a mile up, a mile back. It's pretty straight uphill, and I consider myself a Black Mountain man.
Are you allowed to say that?
What, I'm a man?
I mean, if you take one word out of that, we're in big trouble.
Well,
I mean, if you just said Black Mountain, I don't know.
Look, I'm a Black Mountain man. I'm into Black Mountain. I'm a man who is into Black Mountain. I am a Black Mountain man.
You are, yeah, and I'm a
Black Mountain woman.
Woman. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Woman. Yes.
So, in case you can't tell, it's going to be jokes all the way. Mm-hmm. 1,000% jokes, nonstop jokes, and then extra jokes. Except we got some serious stuff we got to talk about.
Oh yeah, some big time serious stuff. And I don't know, I feel like I'm just kind of along for the ride today. I mean, as usual. I'm excited to see what you have in store. I mean, we don't really talk about what we're going to say on the podcast ahead of time, except for maybe like one or two topics, like, oh, we're going to talk about this. Like, we'll do that. But then we just kind of surprise each other with different topics.
Sometimes we don't even think about it ahead of the show.
And well, I mean, I have stuff written down.
So all, and then all of a sudden there we talk.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah.
Sometimes we talk over each other. It's just what it is. But we're not going to do that.
That's a relationship.
We're not going to be making noises or anything like that.
That was loud.
That was fucking loud.
I don't know how that happened. All right.
Let's see here. First on the list. We went over it, fleshed it out last week, right? Just briefly.
We fleshed it out?
Yeah, we fleshed it out.
We fleshed it out.
Yeah, I've got that still on my notes, though, because it's just one of those things that's so fun that when you think it's one thing your whole life and then it turns out it's wrong. It's not fleshed out. You don't flush it out. Although it does make sense to flush something out. But flushing something out is when you get rid of something. Like, you flush it and then it's gone.
Yeah, because, like, flush means, like, I feel like it doesn't mean to get rid of it. It means to get it all on like the same playing field.
I wonder where flesh it out comes from, because fleshing it out is what you're doing, where you're like, you're trying it and seeing if it works. So fleshing is like putting it to the physical reality, the flesh. I really don't.
Really? Maybe I haven't been using that word correctly.
When you say we're going to flesh it out, you go, okay, we're going to figure out what it is. It's like getting to the brass tacks.
Do you think it could come from like hunting and skinning, like you have to get the fur off to get to the skin and to get to the flesh?
You know, I don't know, but we have a way to get to the bottom of it.
We're going to flesh this out right now, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
We have this computer right in front of Ray Stone. I do not use a computer. I have paper.
Okay, here we go. Okay. The phrase flesh it out, and it is flesh, like fleshlight. I had a joke. What's the...
Like fleshlight?
What's the grossest part of a fleshlight? The flesh part, you weirdos.
Fleshlight? Flashlight?
Do you know what a fleshlight is?
No. It's not a flashlight? It is flashlight, right?
I mean, it's shaped like one. You don't know what a fleshlight is? Do you see what I have to put up with?
You love it.
I love it because I just get to abuse you. A fleshlight is the male version of a dildo.
Hmm. Okay. Does it light up?
It's a pocket vagina.
I know, I got that. Okay. But does it light up?
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. I've never had one. The what company call is called...
it's a company.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it's obvious, because it's made of flesh, mm-hmm. or it's supposed to be like flesh, and it sounds like flashlight, which is something everybody knows.
Okay. Well, yeah, I didn't know if it was that or... Okay. God, I thought it was the object, not the brand.
Yeah, it's called a flesh...
I got it.
Okay.
I knew exactly what you were talking about when you...
When I said it.
Said a male's dildo, yeah.
Yeah, okay, all right.
Yeah.
But you've never heard of a fleshlight before?
Absolutely not.
Wow.
Mm-mm. Where would I have heard that?
Well, it was one of the original sponsors on the JRE podcast for a long time. They were like on every podcast sponsor list for a long time. Fleshlight, the company. And they would like send them fleshlights.
I mean, to be honest, I never started listening to male-dominated podcasts until I met you, really. I didn't really listen to Joe Rogan that much before.
Well, that shouldn't preclude you from knowing what a fleshlight is, because it's
Well, they're not advertising fleshlights on women, mainly women audiences.
You know what this is really teaching me is that you don't have any good friends. All your friends aren't good. They don't know... They don't inform you on this cool stuff.
Oh, I don't think you would like most of my friends from my past. It's just all yoga people.
Yeah, fleshlight is funny. Weird. Yeah, they need to learn. Your friends need to learn. It's a good thing I'm with you. You're just going to learn so much.
I know. I thank God every day that I have you to teach me how to be, you know, a real human.
Yeah. At least one who's aware of some pretty common stuff.
Okay, so fleshlights. Anyway, so we're looking it up here.
Fleshing, what
did you find out?
Fleshing it out originated in the mid-1600s and is a metaphor that compares adding details to something to clothing a skeleton with flesh. Once again, it's a metaphor comparing two things. One thing being adding details to something and then... clothing a skeleton with flesh. So I don't know why that makes any sense, but that's what it is.
Makes no sense,
but it sort of works.
Okay.
Yeah, so fleshed. I'm glad we fleshed that out. Mm-hmm.
I'm so glad we're teaching our listeners proper about where things are coming from and the way, you know, to actually say things.
Yeah. Did we talk about the brass tacks on the last one too? Mm-mm. Do you know getting down to the brass tacks? We have talked about this before. But
yeah. It sounds really familiar. Talked about it. Yeah.
A lot of people think that it has to do with a tax, like a brass tax, like a tax on brass, but it's not. It's when you upholster furniture. Once you get all the dimensions and you're putting the fabric on, they used to make all furniture using brass tacks, TACKS, not TAX. Mm. And so when they were figuring out how much everything's going to cost, once you are down, like once you've framed it and put cushions and put the material on, then you get down to the brass tacks of the situation, the final pieces.
Right. Yeah. The finishing touch.
Which I thought that was very, very
That's a fun
cool.
one. Yeah, yeah, that one makes sense. That one makes sense.
We should do an on this day in history too. I don't have anything, but not for this one, but
yeah,
we should definitely
this day. Yeah, a little fun fact.
Right. Yeah. See, you know what was going on. Mm-hmm. Who did what? What kind of scoundrels got up to some tomfoolery? Because that's what's always going on. Just scoundrelly tomfoolery. Speaking of scoundrels and tomfoolery, let's talk about Robin Hood.
Robin de Hood.
I made a huge error. Hopefully it's not. Hopefully it's not a crazy huge error. But I thought I had discovered something that, well, I did discover something that if it were to work according to what I thought it should work like, it would mean you could day trade Bitcoin and make a little money over a lot of trades, and in like 50 or so trades, put aside, like actually kind of harvest out $1,000 a day for like half a day's work for if you had one Bitcoin to start with, because of how volatile, I'll just get, we'll get through the boring stuff real quick. It's up and it's down so much in a day that it moves hundreds of points at a time, often, but definitely inside of 15 minutes, it will cross a $50 mark over and over and over again. So I thought to myself, ooh, this might be an opportunity. One Bitcoin, if you buy it at 105 and then sell it at 105 and $50, and then buy it back at 105 and then sell it at 105 and $50, there's $100. It's 50 bucks every time you do it twice. Now, the reason it doesn't work on most trading platforms, very boring stuff, there's a fee that is greater than that amount if you're dealing with a whole Bitcoin because you're trading $100,000 at a time. But Robinhood advertises trade-free or a fee-free trading. So no fees to buy and sell. Only fees when it comes to transferring. Then they have the gas fees, the network fees, that the other, you know, that people that actually own the blockchain are charging for you to use their blockchain. But it's supposed to be free. So I said, oh, okay. And I've got a buddy who wants to, he wants me to put this to work with his Bitcoin. So, well, I have a little bit of Bitcoin. Like I had, you know, $2,000 worth. So a fraction of a Bitcoin. I said, well, I'll just try it with my own first and we'll see if it works. So I send it over. The transfer goes over fine. I've got a Robinhood account now. And the first thing I tried was the $50 trade. Well, I set a limit, which means I will buy at this point, I will sell at this point. And when it came, when the ticker reached that limit, it did not execute the sale. So I go, okay, well, why is that? Not enough volume, not enough buyers at that price, because they only have 11 million people and the other ones have like 125 million people. So that's a lot more people to actually buy the thing that you're trying to sell. So I realized, oh, this isn't going to work. I said, okay, that's fine. I'll just send it on back to the other place where I had it in Coinbase, which is an actual coin wallet. Mm-hmm. And this is where we run into trouble. So here's a fun little game. They play with your money. When I went to send the Bitcoin out, now I received the Bitcoin through this very same channel. Sent from Coinbase to Robinhood, no problem. Coinbase didn't give me a hard time about it. They just let me send it. They said, thanks for your business. Yeah. It sure has been fun.
It's your Bitcoin and you may do with it as you please.
Now, when I went to send it back from Robinhood, all of a sudden, as soon as I tried to send it, my account is limited. And it's only limited in that I cannot send the cryptocurrency. Everything else is fine. If I wanted to, I could bring more in. I can receive more. I can add more money to the account if I want to. I can still buy and sell it within the account, but I cannot send it back out. So I say, well, this isn't right. I'll just get a hold of customer service. Oh my gosh. Anyone out there, if you're listening, do not use Robinhood. I do a little bit of stocks, I do a little bit of trading, I do a little bit of Bitcoin, and never use Robinhood. As soon as you try to send your Bitcoin away or cash out your money, they do whatever they can to keep it.
And I feel like they can because with Robinhood, you don't have your own wallet, right? They yes. own the wallet.
It's an ETF.
Yes.
Whatever that means, it means you don't actually own the coin. So they can freeze it and they can say, yeah, it's suspicious activity. Oh, you mean I suspiciously wanted to fuck out of your platform because it sucks and it's no good? And then you realize I want out. So you say, oh, I'm just going to keep your money and you can't get out.
It's so ironic that they're like, oh, you have suspicious activity when you've had three calls with, was it three or two? 3 calls with customer service, and each time they hung up on you.
Well, they don't hang up.
The connection was so bad.
It disconnects.
It disconnects.
And then they send me an email telling me that they had a disconnection and that my account is under review, and it mm-hmm. was supposed to be freed up today, but then I log on today and now that review marker has been pushed to tomorrow. So I have already filed Better Business Bureau, and tomorrow I'll be going to the financial institutions that you complain about this kind of stuff to, the SEC and the FRNA or whatever, FINRA. But anyway, don't use Robinhood. They're thieves.
It's so bad.
For sure. I am kicking myself a little bit just because I know they had problems before, but I thought that that was because of the big short traders that were trying to basically put GameStop to its end. And then when the trading commission got involved and said you have to have X amount on hand in order to be able to process this many trades, and they didn't have it, I thought there was a legitimate problem there. But it turns out this company is crooked.
Maybe that's when the crookery started, when they were like, oh shoot, we can do this, we'll just keep doing this. Because I remember back in like 2018, around that time, somebody was showing me the app and was telling me about it, and it was a coworker, and he had great things to say about it. He's like, I've earned so much money and da 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 da. So I always thought it was a good thing.
Well, I think it is a good thing, but I think they have only recently started doing cryptocurrencies. And with cryptocurrencies, you're not forced, because it's unregulated still, you're not forced to adhere to the better practices. So, but also the reason that I was attracted to try this is because it's a cryptocurrency. That means you don't have to adhere to the day trading laws. So you're not allowed to pattern trade, meaning that pattern that I was talking about where I see it, I could trade at $50 over and over and over again in a pattern and make money. You're not allowed to do that on the real stock market unless you have an account that has $25,000 or more in it. Well, I don't have that much in my coin purses, my coin wallets, which is funny, a coin purse. So you could actually use a smaller amount and try to build that way and see if the theory actually works. But it so failed. And then as soon as I tried to just transfer back because it failed, now my all of that asset is like tied up and they're just holding it indefinitely for ransom, which is so frustrating. It makes me feel like such a level of impotence that I'm just like, all right, so you just took that from me and I can't get it back? Well, I am going to complain to every agency and all 10 of you, which we really appreciate you guys listening and watching.
I want to know what their definition of suspicious activity is, because you are transferring back the Bitcoin from where it came from. It's not like you're putting it in a different place. There's nothing suspicious about it.
No, but they can just say that. It's a blanket statement. They can say, oh, well, or you need more authentication. But I did the 2-factor authentication in order to send the cryptocurrency to that wallet. So anyway, everyone loves hearing the word crypto, crypto, crypto over and over and over again with vocal fry, especially, which I've been doing. Eek, sorry about that. But yeah, don't use fucking Robinhood. God, it makes me want to, I don't know, punch an executive. Just, it's insane.
I recorded that last call you had. Yeah, I was trying not to like get your face or anything in there. But I got like the phone, see the phone number in case you ever need it for, you know, documentation.
Clarification. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was funny. It was it comes out and it's a little bit clear and then it just starts chopping the signal and it like compacts my words into a string of words on their end. And then I can just hear them real choppy and then it disconnects and then they say, oh yeah, sorry, bad connection.
Oops.
So essentially, and that's the only way to contact them. I had a live chat agent and they told me I need to make a call. So I get in line. It says you're in line for a call back within 30 minutes. 6 hours is the average callback time. So, you know, I mean, just have your phone on you, which is fine. Mm-hmm. But it's maddening. It is it seems very clear to me, and I'm not a super suspicious guy, but when I see the logic of things, I go, oh, I see what that is. Here's what we do. We're going to accept all their money, but then when they try to send it somewhere else, we're not going to let them. And then that's just how we do it. Now, what I could do is sell the Bitcoin and then take my money out, but they charge you $100 to transfer your money out, and they only let you transfer like $1,000 at a time or something. So to get my $3,800 out of there, all told, because I transferred 1,000 in just to see, and then I transferred my Bitcoins in, or percent of a Bitcoin in. Mm-hmm. In order to get all that back out, it will cost me like $400 to get.
And all of this time and.
The life of luxury.
Yeah. Robin the Hood.
Yeah.
I mean, just another lesson that if something seems too good to be true, it absolutely is. But we knew there was going to be a catch, but we did not suspect the catch to be, we're going to keep all of your money, complete dishonesty and robbery. I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah. And here's where the world really loves to give you a little twinkle in its eye, like, ha, 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 just so you know, the world is watching. It's just watching you, because then, like, as I'm dealing with this, I get an email, a notification in Coinbase that they have changed their fee structure so that now it actually operates the way that I want it to.
You need it to.
Yeah.
So now you really want to get your money back over there so you can start trading like you were anticipating.
I want to try it on that site, which is a much more reputable site.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, but now I can't. So it's just like, I've had Coinbase the whole time. I've had, I think, for like 5 years or something like that, just putting a little bit of money in there, just trying it out. I don't want to be left behind in the event that the cryptocurrencies do work. So when something is good and it's like a deal and you can buy like 600 shares for $100, I do that. I'm like, oh, I'll just put $100 in a bunch of different things. You never know what's going to hit. If I had done that in Bitcoin back then, I'd have $1 million right now. But, you know, it's like, so I'm just trying not to fall way far behind. It's not enough to go crazy about, but it's just enough to be like, you sons of bitches. And then that same week, somehow the world sees fit to say, by the way, we're going to offer what you really wanted back where you were. And now you can't get there.
You just needed to like do this little dance first.
You can't get there.
When you finally get the money back, they're going to change their fee structure back to.
Oh, yeah. In no way do I think that it's going to work. I'm like, that's not going to work.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I have something I want to talk about.
Okay.
I'm kind of on the vein of ranting, you know, and trying to get the message out there to the world of, you know, what to do, what not, like, you know, don't use Robinhood. It's not, you know, flesh it out. It's flesh it out. I think, you know, something I've realized, you know, there's certain etiquette in different places that they're like unwritten rules, but sometimes people just don't know about the etiquette. And there are, you know, different places, and like number one is in the gym. I complain about this a lot, gym etiquette. I mean, if you're using a machine that's a popular machine and it's the only one in there, you better not be on your phone scrolling in between sets. You got to be efficient. You have to be. That's number one. Mm-hmm. That's one of them. Oh, but you don't work out in a gym, so you don't experience these pains.
I have before. I just go up and I say, you mind if I work in with you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want
to. You
work
seem to
in
be anymore. Resting a lot. Can I get on that machine, sir, ma'am?
Here's what happened the other day. So I was in peak time. It was around like 5:30, 6 p.m. And one of the last exercises, I need the pulley machine thing. And there are actually a lot of them in the gym that I go to. I usually don't have to wait. But this time, everybody was on all of them. There was one kid, teenager guy, and he was standing next to one and talking to his friends. So I went over there. I said, hey, are you using that? And he goes, oh, yeah, I'm still on it. I said, oh, well, how many sets do you have left? And he's like two. I was like, because I couldn't work in with him because it was in a different position. And so I was like, all right. And so I just kind of stood back and I'm like kind of looking, like trying to wait for someone to finish. And I look at him and dude is doing a circuit training on that thing. So he's like doing push-ups right next to it. And this is the other thing. Nobody likes circuit trainers in the gym. If you're a circuit trainer, you need to get your free weights and go in the corner where you belong.
That's circuit it. As in doing multiple exercises and then rotating them?
Yeah, circuit training is like, you know, doing a set of push-ups followed by a set of squats followed by a set of like,
You know. Yeah, you shouldn't be on a machine doing that.
Absolutely not. See it all the time. One time I saw a girl by the hip thrust machine. It's a very popular machine, the hip thrust. There's only one of them. And if you don't use the machine, it takes forever to set up your hip thrusts. And it's a big pain in the butt. So it's what everybody likes to do. But this one day, this girl, she was doing circuit training, like a full circuit training. She was on there for like 30 minutes, it seemed like.
Look, bitch.
Look, bitch, you got to get off of that thing.
No, I feel like if you're going to do circuit training, that's where you just get the home gym. If you want to act like you're at home, get one for your home.
Yeah.
And if you can't, then you... I used to work out in the gyms before I had a machine. Mm-hmm. And I would just go, if somebody was on a machine too long, I'd just be like, hey, you mind if I work in with you on your breaks?
Yeah. And I've done that before.
And I don't care. Before. And everyone hates it when you ask. Because what I'm saying is, come on, bro.
You've been on there too long. Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, I hate to say it, but like it's always people who are like a little bit fat, a little bit chubby, that are never following the gym etiquette. Like you don't scroll on your phone in between sets ever. It doesn't matter what machine you're on, really. You don't do that. And another one, everybody in the world needs to hear this. You have got to wipe your bodily fluids off the seat. You have to. It's so disgusting.
Oh, I'm about to admit something to you that I...
You know, don't tell me.
I don't want everybody to know. I used to work out in the gym with my shirt off and I wouldn't wipe the machines.
Why?
Because I was young. I didn't know.
You didn't know?
I mean, yeah. I just didn't know.
It's true.
But why did I work out with my shirt off?
Yeah.
Now, that's a question nobody can know.
I mean, well, why do girls work out with tights that are literally up their asses?
Babe, I appreciate what you're saying right now. This is the year 2000 at a 24-hour fitness.
Yeah, that
And I'm
work.
Just in there. You know what I got to do? I got to take this shirt off.
This is just too confining. I can't get a real workout in. Got to take this shirt off. These girls need to see this.
You know what? I've never told anybody that. And I'm just glad I finally got it off my chest.
Well, the only reason why I know about just it like is because shirt. When I started weightlifting, it was in 2021. The summer of 2021, it was right when gyms were just starting to open back up. And so they had very strict rules of wiping everything down.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Very strict rules. And so, there were signs all over the gym. You got to wipe it down. But I feel like we need to have signs. What if I just made signs and put them around? Made them look like super nice and legit. Because I go to a fancy gym. I made like a nice looking sign and just put them up. Places, or I could just get, put on a piece of paper like little stick-it notes everywhere.
Yeah, what? That's the most like Jim Karen thing I've ever heard. What do you call a Jim Karen?
I know. I was thinking that as I was saying it.
Who are girls that go to the gym?
I bet if there were signs that
bunch of Kims.
I bet if there were nice looking signs around, like I framed it or something. Nobody would take it down. It would look like it was there.
You don't think the manager of the gym is going to be like, what the fuck? Who put that up?
I mean, they might be like, oh, that's probably a good idea.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's that. I'm glad we talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
Those were both really hot topics. Robinhood trading, the gym.
People need to know these things about the gym. I have other places for etiquette, but we won't talk about them today.
Well, we're going to add one. The uphill hikers have the right of way on the mountain, you cocksuckers.
Hiking etiquette, yes.
You cocksuckers.
Yep. And don't say happy Sunday. I mean...
that was so funny.
Two people.
They go happy Sunday and I go happy. That was my response. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Happy. That was the equivalent of what Elon Musk did the other day.
From my heart to yours.
Yeah, when he did the Hitler wave. Mm-hmm. But really, if you watch the rest of the video, he's just an autistic kid that got excited when a train went underneath the bridge that he was on. That's what I saw.
He was so excited.
He was so excited.
His hair was flopping.
He was sending his heart out to you in a very Nazi salute. But it's like anyone who actually thinks he was doing a Nazi salute is retarded.
Absolutely retarded. And I don't think I've ever seen him legitimately happy as he was in that moment. Like, he's always so business and, like, you know, autistic, and he was still autistic, but happy autistic.
Well, I've been watching his presentations for Tesla for oftentimes, and he gets giddy like that. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah, when he's excited about the product that he's about to, like when he first unveiled the Tesla supercharger network, he said, okay, they told us you couldn't build a cool electric car. We did it. What if I told you we did it? They told us it was going to be too difficult and that there's no charging infrastructure. What if I told you we planned for that? And then what if I told you we already have 5,000 of those things up and running right now, as of right now? And everybody's like, oh my God. And he's just like, and one more thing. He kind of has that, he's excited about the business. But I've never seen him like pumping his fist and, like you said, flopping his hair around and being like, yes, 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 yes. So excited. He was just like, it was like watching a kid getting something. It was like watching a retarded kid get a train set for Christmas. So excited. It was, because he's autistic. He's on the spectrum.
He has Asperger's. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like when you look at him and you go, oh, you know, that's what's going on there. This is very obvious. But then to listen to people say, oh, can you believe he is a, and also, who's a Nazi? Who does anyone think there are still Nazis? I mean, there are still Nazis. Like, I visited the Prague, Czech Republic a few years ago. And there was literally a neo-Nazi rally while I was there in the square downtown. Really? With youths who believe in communism. Well, not communism, but what is it?
White supremacy?
Fascism.
Oh, okay.
Fascism. Mm. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to separate the two. But they were trying to tout the benefits of what a fascist rule looks like versus, you know, the free market trade capitalism.
Well, I listened to a podcast, and sorry about that. I just made the noise.
You heard it.
I did. I was listening to a podcaster. He talks about like cultural and political things from a neutral standpoint, and he's younger. And he made a great point. He said that all of these Karens out there, the woke people, have ruined the meaning of words.
Yeah.
So Nazi doesn't mean not. We don't really know what Nazi means anymore. You don't even know what a woman means anymore. They just completely ruined language altogether. Like, nothing has a real meaning.
Were they saying that all women are Nazis?
I don't.
You heard it here. Women are Nazis now. Mm-hmm. I like the Bill Burr take on that years ago. He's like, neo-Nazi. Do we have to say the neo? We know there's not a bunch of OG Nazis out there.
Yeah.
Like, they're all dead.
Yeah, that's true.
You can just drop the neo part of it. You guys. So, one thing on my... I've got a couple of gripes. Got a couple gripes on the list. If your neighbor walks his dog on your driveway every day, and it, like, I was here, I moved in, he was here, he was the neighbor already when I moved in, before I bought the house. So he's been walking his dog, and he stops to let the dog pee on my, is it the cat? She opened the door. I thought I heard her meow.
I put her in the kitchen.
Just let her in.
She opened the barn door.
She figured it out. It slides.
She deserves to come in then. She's earned a spot.
The neighbor walks his dog every day on our driveway and stops to let the dog go pee on my garbage can. And it's fine because it's like, you know, it's just the dog going pee on the garbage can. But is it a little weird? Like, and I let him do it and I don't complain about it because I want to maintain good neighbor relations, because it is, you know, it's like they're like little watchdogs because they're a retired couple and they watch our house. Like, they know when I'm gone. Like, before you were here, if I was gone, like two summers ago when I was gone for the summer, you know, when I get back, they'd be like, hey, you're back, you know, and I don't like fucking tell them what I'm doing, that I'm like leaving town or anything like that, because it's nobody's business but mine. Pearl, if you don't fucking keep it down. No.
She wants to sit on my lap.
She's just talking. Ew. She's just talking it up now. But, you know, it's like, I don't understand how does it not compute to someone else? Like, I had my dog. I wouldn't like walk her over to go pee on someone else's thing. Like, that's just weird, right?
It's so weird, but there are some things that people just don't know, like wiping your seat off at the gym.
Yeah.
Well, like Richie, when I was living with him in Casa Grande, I know you're listening.
Watching, actually.
What? Oh, that's true. He does watch on YouTube. He would, whenever he had the leaf blower thing to do the yard, instead of putting it in a pile and then putting it in a bag, he would blow it onto the street. And like a lot of leaves. We had Palo Verde in the front yard.
The little leaves. Yeah.
And like, first of all, it's going in the neighbor's yards, like, and across the street, and it's blowing back in your yard too.
Yeah.
So it wasn't, you don't do that. Like, and you don't see other people do it either. Yeah. It's just very rare.
Well, this is coming on the heels of the gripe that that same neighbor. I saw his landscape guys blowing the leaves into my yard. And I go, hey,
guys.
I go, hey, guys, don't do that. And, you know, a couple Mexican guys. And I go, I wave at him. I go, don't do that. And he goes, well, I'm just doing it right here. And I go, don't do that. Like, you don't just blow your leaves into my yard, and then that's a great solution.
Yeah.
So then the other day, so embarrassing, when I saw all the dust flying the other morning, and I look out and I see the guy blowing stuff, and so I called the neighbor because I was going to have him fix the problem, and then as I've got him on the phone, I realize that the guy is actually doing what I asked him to do, which is rounding up the leaves and putting it in a bag, and I was like, false alarm. I was going to call you to complain, but sorry.
Is that how that conversation went?
But I kept it, you know, I think I kept it cool. I mean, it's not as bad as the other mountains who have built a gigantic garage that now blocks the view of the mountains that we used to have.
Yeah. But, you know, going back to the peeing thing, I don't think it's so weird that you're, dog pees on someone else. Like, that's common. Dogs pee everywhere. Yeah. But it's the pooping that's not cool.
Well, that dog doesn't really do that. I think we already talked about the other other thing, the Merry Christmas. So I want to talk. I have revived an old project. And officially now, there is some juice on my RV. News alert. I started a project it's crazy. What really spurred me to try to finish this thing is realizing how long I've been here, which means I started that project before I got here, like probably a year before I got here. And then, so it's like a 10-year hiatus of a project, which is a very cool project. So I bought I rescued a toy hauler RV camper trailer, 21 feet, short guy. And then I converted it to be a nice trailer with a garage in the back to hold my electric motorcycle, which I have put enough solar up to be able to charge the electric motorcycle from the sun. and store electricity that way, which is probably one of the cooler things that I have thought of to try to build. And my favorite part is everyone that I talked to in the solar industry when I was shopping for my solar panels, telling them what I'm doing, which is charging an electric bike, tried to tell me, well, we need to sell you batteries, and your batteries have to be double the size of the battery that's in the bike. So I've got a 14 kilowatt battery on the bike. That means they're trying to sell me 30 kilowatts of batteries. And I'm like, that's not the point. I already have the battery. It's in the bike. I just want to convert electricity from the sun and send it directly to the bike, which will control its own charge. And if the voltage fails, then it will stop charging. No big deal. And everyone said I couldn't do it. So I bought the panels and I set it up just in the yard to test it and plugged in the bike. And guess what? Lo and behold, it works just like I thought it would. Oh. So now, 10 years later, I've finally gotten around to the hard part, which is building the solar racks to fit that much solar, because I don't have space on the roof and it takes a lot of space to generate enough electricity to actually charge the bike. But cool, cool, cool. This is like one of the coolest things I've ever tried to invent and build. And we will see. I'll keep everybody posted as to its functionality once I get it all hooked up. I misplaced some connectors, so I got to order some connectors this week.
But also, I don't think you shared what you built the rack out of. It was scrap metal.
Well, not quite scrap. It was recycled, though. And it was a framework that some steel doors got shipped in from a couple, actually two different projects of people that were getting some steel doors shipped in. And they come from this one company, Pinkies is the steel door company. Shout out Pinkies. That place is awesome. They build really cool doors. And they ship their stuff very sturdily, and they wrap it in a steel framework, and it's super lightweight tubing. So it's exactly what I needed, and I designed it actually to crumple if it ever is smashed from the top, instead of smashing through the roof of the RV, if possible. So, but yeah, there was just enough. I think my leftover weight was, I mean, and this is like a large rack. They're like, you know, 5 feet by, one of them is 5 feet by, I think, 12 feet or something, and the other one is 5 feet by... whatever the two panels is, 40 inches twice. So 5 feet by 80 inches, 78 inches. And that's a lot of steel. And one of them is 16 inches tall. So you've got two racks, one that goes on the roof and one that actually holds the panels. And the other one's 12 inches tall. So you've got to have bracing and like supports and all this stuff. And I ended up with like, I don't know, less than probably 3 pounds of scrap total. From all that steel. So very cool, recycled and reviving. So it's never too late to revive an old project. I got a Jeep sitting out there that's going to get my attention next.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
It's the next one.
But I got to get that stuff ordered from China.
China. You got to get the siding. Yep.
We're going with it. Good.
Yeah, I decided.
Yeah, I mean, it's good quality. So I'm just going to get it and move forward. It's going to be way cleaner than the way the house looks now. And the price is just too right. So yeah. I'm just going to go for it.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, congrats to that.
Yeah. Yeah. Cheers to that. Got to get it going. In the meantime, I might build a hinge in.
Well, are we ready for the new word?
We are ready. I still have not invented, I haven't come up with any music for it. So we're just going to launch right into it.
Okay. So I usually say the word and then I tell you the sentence in the book. Last week we did a different format. What do you want to do? Do you want me to tell you the definition first and then you try to guess the word?
Let's do it that way. Yeah.
Okay. The definition, this is a noun. A formal acknowledgement of loyalty to a lord.
Fealty. Did I get one?
You got it. Oh my gosh. We do need like music. I feel like we need some. That's so good. I thought the word meant submission. And here's the sentence it came from. One man. One made the sign of fealty to that kingdom's monarch, a simple token gesture, and was allowed to pass. Oh no, I just lost my spot.
Fealty. Can I tell you, you may have just inadvertently given me, I mean, just finally some like retribution, or not retribution, but what is it? What's the word I'm looking for?
Kudos?
Well, no, because I'm coming back from a deficit on these.
Yeah, because I can't believe, I mean, you are the one who has inspired me to do this, of trying to learn all these new words. It's why I'm like wanting to read more, because your vocabulary is so expansive. And
yet Stephen King's is still larger.
Still, but that's where you got it from, you know? Yeah. And so it was kind of surprising that, you know, you didn't know all of these other words.
I was thinking about the sallow, the yellow eyes. I always thought it was like a hollow, you know, like sunken and sallow go together when they describe it. So I just didn't know that it was a color, but I know fealty, baby.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. What I love about his writing is that word just, it fits so perfectly in that sentence. I don't know. He's just so good. Shout out to Stephen King.
Yep.
My hero. All right, that's all I have today. I have way more, but I haven't prepared them. So.
Well, okay. Then I want to talk about something that I invented while listening to another podcast, which is the Uber Midget Canon. Sorry. The Uber Midget Canon. So just a bus with a bunch of portholes in the side, loaded with with little people. And you drive them by their house and sort of launch them home.
Mm-hmm.
The way God intended. Just get close enough and then shoot them out of a cannon.
I mean, you know, give everyone a little chuckle. That is how God intended. That's why they were made.
Why do you think God made midgets?
A sense of humor. I think God has a good sense of humor.
Well, there's some hard swallows.
Me?
Yeah.
Why is it so hard today?
I don't know. But I got one more gripe, and that is the Apple computers. How they stop updating, where you can no longer upgrade to the new software after like 10 years. And the other day I was like, yeah, this stupid thing. It used to be that was their big claim to fame, is no matter how old the machine was, you could still get the new version and it would make sure that it would work. And I think now that, of course, everything is like leaps and bounds ahead in technology world, so that's unreasonable. But then I had another thought the other day too, where it's like, yeah, 10 years is a long time for one computer. If you can't afford a computer every 10 years, you're doing it wrong. So like little twist, like, you know, I used to feel like, ah, those guys are being greedy, just trying to get people to buy machines. And it's like, yeah, after 10 years, they don't work so well anymore. Like,
but I mean, it doesn't have to be that way. You know, I mean, it would be far better if they made a product that you could use for decades, especially if you're doing software.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Great. But then I also feel like if you can't afford a computer every 10 years, you shouldn't have one.
I've only bought one computer in my whole life.
See? So,
but that's because I always get one with my jobs. So I never really needed one until I went to grad school. And then I still use my work computer.
Okay.
good story.
Speaking of your computer, update on the job situation. She still has them all.
I still have them all, folks. 5 total right now. I haven't gotten paid for the one yet, so
yeah, okay,
we'll see. And it's still quite unclear what I'm supposed to be doing. So, I have the computer open every day. I'm there waiting for stuff to come in. I'm gonna be more proactive this week. You know, I'm just getting settled.
It sounds like they don't know how to help you get settled. You keep asking what to do, and they keep being like, "No, what." Okay, ask someone else.
So this particular company, I mean, I went through 4 rounds of interviews. Every single interview was a shit show. The very first one was 2 women, and they were confused because they thought that I had already met with somebody else, but I hadn't. They didn't know that. And so they're like, oh, we're your first interview? In the interview, I was like, okay.
What's crazy is the salary is insane for them not to have stuff for you to do right away.
They gave me exactly what I still feel like this might be a scam, but I've given them all my information. I'm so far in it now. Like
I wonder what could be the scam.
I know.
They got your info.
I Googled the company too to see what past employees said about it. And it does seem like a legit company. There are gripes. Same gripes that I, you know, no, not the same ones. The biggest gripe is that they're micromanagers.
Yeah.
So far, not what I'm experiencing.
Not at all.
No, but yeah. I really just took the job. I wasn't even going to, actually. I was preparing over the week and had the interview with the CEO on Friday. And she, at the end of the, it wasn't even really an interview at that point because I'd met with everybody else already. And she was like, you know, I really trust my team and they all recommended you. And so, you know, blah, 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 blah. And we're looking for this. And, you know, I was rolling with the punches. And she's like, well, what salary would you expect? I threw a number out there that is much 30% higher than what I was making at my last job. And she said, okay, we'll get the offer letter out to you.
Yeah, it seems like something is up. I'm wondering, like we talked about, if it's just a company that they don't really do anything, but they do have to have people on their payroll in order to get paid from the bigger company that they're actually tied to.
I really think you're onto something there, because I had the same feeling when I was on the team call with the team that I'm with. The client is a,
don't say it,
I'm not going to, but you know, it's a very big company. Yeah. Everybody in the world knows this company that is the client that I'm supposed to be leading part of this team.
Yeah.
And there are other employees from the agency that I was hired for that are on this team that do other things. And one of them seemed to be leading the call, but he wasn't really doing anything. And so that's the first time I was like, are we even actually doing anything?
Yeah, it is possible that they managed to score a contract with the big tech boys, and the big tech boys are like, yeah, we think we need this. And so as long as you show them that I'm sure there's like a partnership where they have to whatever, show you numbers, and they're like, oh, we just show them these numbers and they just keep paying us these bills, because some tech companies have so much money, there's no way for them to keep track of where all of it's going, or at least I think there's no way for them to be aware of whether or not every contract they've got is actually doing anything for them. Mm-hmm. So it's like, if you have landed a job that is low expectation with a high yield for return, and all you've got to do is pet it every once in a while, that's the, you know, I mean, that is.
Well, the stuff that they were talking about on the call too, because once we did the intros, they went into their actual meeting, and the stuff that they were talking about was very basic, fundamental marketing things. And I was just kind of shocked that they were even discussing it. Like, someone needs to make this decision. You do not need to bring it to a group of 10 people. Huh. Like, you should already be doing this, is what I was thinking. Yeah.
I don't know, but
we'll see.
I have still got a job, so.
I have some more team meetings this week.
Hand job's still a job, dude.
Even if it's a bad one. But yeah, all the jobs are going good. I still have the one at the pub that I've tried to quit. But every time I ask for something, I think they're going to say no to, they give it to me. Mm-hmm. And I actually really like my one shift. I feel almost like the girls that I'm working with are kind of like becoming friends in a way.
Yeah,
and
yeah, that's nice. You need really, some in-person stuff.
Yeah, it's really nice. And since I'm only there once a week, I'm not in a bad mood. And I go right after I teach yoga. And so I'm really happy. And I mean, I get sometimes 50% tips.
That's pretty good.
I have like an 80% tip on one.
That's pretty good. I mean, yeah, so, Barrett Jackson is in town. People are spending money.
Yeah,
season is here.
Two cars there, and yeah,
season is here. So it's gonna be.
But this guy who came from Barrett Jackson, he bought two cars there, and do you know what he was drinking all night?
Budweiser.
Bush Light in a can. And then he asked me to bring him a styrofoam cup so he could chew.
Oh,
it would slow
yeah.
down his drinking.
Okay.
But he I was mean, a lot of fun. We were giving each other shit. And
just because you're rich doesn't mean you have taste.
That's right. No, I like he was very down to earth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I have one little informative piece that I want to add before we wrap this thing up, because mm-hmm. we're almost at an hour here, is the home latte hack that we discovered because we ran out of half and half.
Oh, garbage.
Oh, this is not garbage. This is greatness. We ran out of half and half, but mm-hmm. I still had some heavy whipping cream in the fridge from making potatoes. And so when we're out of half and half, what do you use? A little bit of heavy whipping cream. But what I realized, so you can just thin it out with some water and then it's like closer to half and half. And just a little bit of water. So like maybe like 1 to 8 or 1 to 6, one part water, 6 parts cream. And then I shook it to incorporate the water. And what had happened was when you shake it, then it gets all frothy. And then you pour like some what is essentially foam onto your regular coffee and you have a little home latte hack. So if you're feeling garbage, you just put a little bit of water in your cream, shake it up, and then you pour it on your coffee. If you like coffee with cream and if you like lattes, it is so nice.
It is good.
And you don't have to like steam the milk and do the whole thing. You don't need all
that
machinery.
You don't need a fancy machine. You just need an almost empty bottle of whipping cream.
Not even almost empty. 3/4 full. And you just put some water in it and shake it up.
Mm-hmm. To cut from the, yeah.
Or you could just shake it because that's all whipped cream is. If you don't know, you're just putting air in the cream. Mm-hmm. So it wants to incorporate air. So all you got to do is shake it and you got a bubbly, frothy thing. You pour it on and it looks like a latte. Mm-hmm. And that's how the cookie, that's all, that's, well, we don't know what that is.
And that's how we drink our coffee.
It's greatness. I know that mm-hmm. for sure.
All right. Well, it was a great talking to you today.
Yeah, now we can go back to not talking to each other. Behind the scenes, we're in a drag-out fight, and we can't wait to get away. I've been making her sleep in the cupboard because she... No, that's the episode for this week. Be sure to check us out on all the blue, blue.
Oh, and now featured on TikTok.
Oh, yeah. I got a TikTok up. I'm trying to do some shorts. I got 16 views on my video, on my
so
1 minute.
So far more than this podcast.
On my 1 minute joke. I was thinking it was kind of funny because I was like, oh, yeah, okay. So you should be able to like post stuff on TikTok. I'm assuming that it just gets out to a lot of people because of how fast the videos are. Mm-hmm. Not even thinking like, oh, yeah, you've got to work at this. And, you know, and it's like, so this is kind of funny. Like, I have turned my back on social media because I don't do social media. I won't look at it. It's a big time suck. All it does is compare you to other people's amazing lives and it makes you feel like shit and it's known to cause depression. Mm-hmm. I used to look at Facebook and started doing Instagram way back and then like probably, gosh, it's been 7 years ago. I canceled all that stuff. Don't want to see it anymore. Don't want to be a part of it. But then, of course, I want to use it to my benefit and try to post like my comedy stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, how come this isn't working for me? And it's like, yeah. No, dude, you turned your back on it.
Like, you got to earn it back now.
And they're like, well, you want to pay us for some views? You can pay us $8 and we'll give you 1,500 views real quick. We'll make sure 1,500 people see it. You can give us $8. If you give us $28, you get 5,300 views. It's a better deal. You get so many views.
I didn't know that they did that. That's crazy.
Yeah, so they
gotta spend money to
make money. So it's promoting the thing. What's the beeping? I don't know what that is either. Mm. Is it me?
No, it's coming from outside.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, you got to spake money to make 20s. And
I got to pee.
This has just been one blunder-filled episode. I don't know what happened. I couldn't speak at all the whole time almost. My brain and the connectivity is just not happening. I don't know why. Yeah, maybe it's because I work for Robinhood now. Anyway, that's the podcast. Feel free to check us out. Bomb with me, anything. All of this is temporary stuff. More to come on Instagram and on TikTok and on YouTube. I'm going to try to start making some shorts and look for the adjust your shorts. We'll do one of those sooner or later whenever I feel like, wow, this week's news has been crazy. Mm-hmm. But so far, it's kind of tame. The big orange man's doing what the big orange man does.
Well, we got the Gulf of America coming and the American Canal and...
World keeps on turning. I did not get signed up for comedy today, but soon I will. And next week we'll post a Bomb With Me clip for sure so that we have something entertaining to go to. And that's it for the podcast this week.
Okay, bye.
Bye.